Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I have been informed by our crack research department that if you're listening on the radio, everything is fine. But if you're trying to listen on the internet, it has garbled itself again. We are digging into what's going on with that thing, and we will come up with a fix eventually. But meanwhile, if you have a radio handy, use it, and then you won't have to miss anything. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the old standby regulars, the ones that we depend on all the time. Thanks for always being there. And if you're new to the show, either by accident or on purpose, stick around for an hour. I promise you, you'll learn something of whatever usage to you it will be. I cannot predict, but it should be a lot of fun. There's a lot going on, as there always is in the world of finance. Everybody out there is touched by personal finance to some degree or other, so there's always something for everybody on the show, and certainly a lot to talk about. We have our trivia question, as usual, coming up after the first break. And then we'll talk about some real-life things that are going on. And I'm going to save you all a bunch of time and trouble by pre-answering some questions so you don't have to go to one of those rubber chicken seminars that I got an invitation to the other day. I'm glad they don't take me off their list, but they won't let me go. But I'm still on the list, so I get a lot of them.
Yeah. So
this time, I figured I'd just tell you what you're going to learn, and I can do it all in a couple minutes and save all that. Oh, the only thing you're going to miss out on is the rubber chicken dinner.
The answer is an annuity? What was the question?
He's been around long enough. Mm-hmm. He knows. All right, well, this week in the market, I didn't like it. It didn't feel good to me. And when the dust settled, it was a nothing. That's why I told the real estate people that it was kind of boring. But you may have a little different view of that. But boy, I sure didn't like the action for 2.5 days starting out the week.
Yeah, it was a little bit of deja vu all over again.
Yeah, a little bit.
With the market in the first 3 days, they were all down. Then Thursday came, posted a nice gain, and it really looked like we were going to mirror last week exactly. Erased a bunch of the losses on Thursday, though, so it wasn't too bad. Friday looked to do the same, and then it kind of collapsed at the second half of the day and ended up closer to flat. But all in all, basically a flat week. All three indexes ended the week within 0.5% of where they started. The NASDAQ was up 0.3%, while the S&P and the Dow were both down less than 0.5%, so really not too bad. For the quarter, all three indexes are positive, although the NASDAQ has been under the most pressure. It's up 1.7% for the quarter, but off 3.5% in May. So definitely some selling on the tech stocks in May. There was some churn in the underlying sectors this week. Things that have been doing well year to date had fell this week, and some that had been lagging went up. For example, energy. It's up more than 40% this year, but it fell 1.4%, more than any other sector. Technology, which has been lagging this year, is up only 5%, and it actually rose 0.5%. So it was a little bit of reversal of the trades we've been seeing for most of the first half of the year.
Bargain hunting.
Perhaps. Yeah, exactly. Small caps and dividend stocks, two of this year's biggest risers, were also down around 1% this week. So a little bit of profit taking, a little bit of bargain hunting. Not any clear patterns emerging, but that's kind of been the story of this May so far. A lot of reversals, a lot of something's hot one week and then selling off the next week.
I had a little thing that I discovered the other day. I wanted to, since you mentioned dividends, value stocks, why there's a shift. They're becoming more and more desirable. And this was just a list of expected dividend increases, quarterly dividend, just for the next week. It was, well, Wabash and iStar and Ashland Global and Northrop Grumman. There's a whole list of them. So what you're seeing now is a restoration or even an advancement of the dividend rates that started to suffer under COVID, which means people are going to be much more interested because if you're buying dividends, it raises the stock price based on the formula of the discounted present value. So I'm not surprised that dividend stocks are coming into their own again.
Yeah, the problem is some of those stock prices are so high, those dividends, the yield doesn't look that attractive, mm-hmm. even compared to the bond market. But it might still look a little bit more attractive just because bonds are so, so low. Although that did climb a little bit this week, just a hair.
Yep.
It's been hovering between that 1.6-1.7% on the 10-year yield level. And I kind of expect that to continue. I don't see any huge changes in the near term, although the Fed is kind of waffling a bit on its no raises in 2022. I don't think we'll see one for the rest of this year.
I
think
believe
that's pretty certain.
We might have alluded to that in the last couple of weeks.
Perhaps, yes.
And by might have, I mean we were adamant.
Yeah, exactly. Internationally, it was a very good week with just three major markets falling. Those included Brazil, Australia, and the UK. Despite India's massive COVID problem right now, it was the biggest gainer, up more than 1.6%. Market kind of signaling they're probably going to get out of that, I would guess. Canada and Japan were also up more than 1% on the week. Commodities had a rougher week with the price of oil falling, but gold actually bucked that trend and rose 1.7%. For the month, it's now up more than 6%. So gold's on a little bit of a run right now.
Oh, time.
Yeah, that is true. But we've been getting a ton of questions about crypto lately, and it isn't something that we put our clients into. However, we do have clients that do it on their own. We'd be doing a disservice if we didn't discuss it today, though, because it had a bit of a wild week.
My trivia question is actually on crypto.
Okay. In April, Bitcoin touched $65,000, and then on Wednesday, it briefly hit $30,000 before recovering to about $40,000. On Wednesday alone, Bitcoin dropped 34% at one point and then rallied 41% from its low to its high on Thursday. A little bit of volatility.
Wear a seatbelt.
And Bitcoin was one of the more stable cryptos this week, actually. Mm-hmm. If you compare it to Ethereum, on Wednesday, it was down more than 45%, and then it rallied 55% to its highest price on Thursday. Even then, it's still trading around $2,800, and that's down from $4,380 last week. So, woo, buckle up if you're investing in cryptos.
It's not for me.
No, me neither. Walmart reported earnings this week, which more or less marks the end of earnings season. As far as the numbers go, they were great. What wasn't great was the market reaction to those earnings. We'll get to that in a second. On both earnings and revenues, the beat rate was 75%, which is an excellent number, particularly for the revenue side. In addition, 16% of companies raised their earning guidance, signaling that they are very bullish about future earnings. Despite all of that good news, stocks that reported averaged a decline of almost 0.5% on the day of their earnings, showing that the market really didn't reward for good performance. My guess is that the market expected results like this, we did anyway, and the increase was already priced in. And that's what happens when you get a great season like we just had and stocks don't perform as well as you might have thought.
You see, too, if you stick to the S&P 1500 index stocks, the earnings beat rate was 83%.
Wow.
So the bigger companies are doing really, really well.
Hmm.
And that is very likely to continue. But the pace of growth that this year has seen, I hate to be too 100% on anything, but there's no chance it's going to repeat itself.
No, I don't think so either.
You just can't. You can't come from a place where we are now and expect that kind of growth. On the other hand, the growth is marching along, and I don't see anything that's going to change that. I don't see any recessions in sight or anything like that. So right now, it's still looking good. All right, more on this. We'll wrap it up after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized Wave Ventilation Unit. Wave Ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question this week, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. We've been talking about volatility. We've been talking about crypto. And when you put both of those into the same sentence, you really got something. So those of you who think you're pretty good at riding out the volatility in the stock market, have a little look at some Bitcoin. Everyone in our business anyway, accepts the general use of the term bear market, which means a 20% drop after the last high. And there has been one in the last 4 years for the S&P 500, and that, as you might expect, came in at the onset of COVID when the market dropped something to the tune of 34%, constituting a bear market, the first one we had seen in 4 years. Now, in that same 4 years, Bitcoin has had more than one bear market, meaning a 20% drop from a previous high. How many has it had? So it's a whole number greater than one. Now, that kind of leaves the universe wide open for answers, but that's the question. All right, little wrap-up on the market here.
Yeah, mostly on housing, something we were talking about last week, and Angela actually promised that we would talk about this week. So just to make her happy, I'm gonna do it. Actually, it's pretty interesting. We were talking last week about supply and demand of building materials and the forces how those play into the housing market and pricing and things like that. And they were very apparent in this week's housing reports. First was the housing starts and building permits, which both came in weaker than expected. And you might ask yourself, how could that be? Because we have demand that's absolutely off the charts right now.
Yep.
And but single-family homes were the biggest culprit. Single-family housing starts dropped 13.4%, while single-family building permits dropped 4%. What's happening here is supply constraints, and it's hitting on two sides. One is lumber shortages, and the other is worker shortages. Home builders can't find enough people, and if they can find enough people, they can't find enough wood to frame houses.
They introduced a new term into – thank you. I'm going to interrupt this for a public service announcement. The internet stream has been fixed, according to my sources.
Here. Okay, good deal.
So for those of you – meaning my research department, want to check it out. And if it's not working well for you, please let me know. Otherwise, welcome everybody. Better late than never. Anyway, I think I was midstream on something about the wood supply. A new term that was introduced recently in that business is unavailable at any price. Mm-hmm. And that's happening in certain markets where you want to build a house and your builder will tell you, well, it's up. Speaking of up, remember about a month ago we had a trivia question that asked, lumber usually run around 500 at a peak time. Mm-hmm. It had hit 1,500. Well, this week we saw 1,700. Wow. And that's only if you can get it.
Yeah, and that's a big if.
That's a big if.
Yeah, it's just way out of control. The mills can't keep up right now. They got behind with COVID and then this building boom.
Housing starts are down. Is that a surprise?
Yeah, the more surprising number was permits. You would think that they'd be pulling permits like crazy with the anticipation of building in the future. So that was a little surprising. But the starts dropping is not surprising at all, considering what's going on right now. So that all sounds bad for the housing market, but it's not. It's actually really good because there is the U.S. has been underbuilding, and not just underbuilding, severely underbuilding homes since 2006. It takes 1.5 million new homes being built every year to keep up with growth, and we have not had a single year since 2006 where we built 1.5 million homes.
Hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
It's terminal velocity.
Yeah, so we've severely, severely underbuilt. Now, we overbuilt for a few years before that,
right?
But we've way overcorrected for that. And so now the demand is there. These people buying homes are actual buyers. They're not investors by and large. And so I think that is the makeup of a healthy market. Now, we need to get the lumber supply under control and the worker shortage corrected, and then things will return to normal-ish.
But of course, the copper and all that.
Yeah, that too. But even the copper, I think, came down a little bit this week. So
all those things are self-correcting because they get so high that the marginal buyer doesn't buy.
Exactly. And the guy building his deck is not going to build his deck. And
in fact, I've talked to actual people who have put off projects because they're just not going to pay the price of lumber.
It doesn't make any sense right now. Why not wait till next year and hope the price is down by half or more?
Yeah. I see all the time signals that this thing is temporary as it exists now. It'll come down. Supply and demand always works. Some of those people come back in when it goes down far enough. It'll stop going down. We'll be at a nice level. The current owners are probably going to have homes that are worth a lot more than they were a couple of years ago.
That is true.
Yeah. So if you're out there thinking use your equity for something or other, or if you want to move up, don't do it yet.
I mean,
Ansel and Howard were talking about
it. You can move up. It's just you have to find something, and that's the challenge.
They were talking about to a guy about the buying and selling thing, and I was reminded of one of my own old sayings. I'd rather buy low and sell low than buy high and sell high.
Yeah, for a variety of reasons, especially with this interest rate right now.
Taxes and all kinds of things.
Lots of good reasons.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's that property tax thing forever capped at 3% on a much less valuable home.
Yep. So people keep asking if we're in a bubble, and my answer, I really don't think we are. I know it feels bubble-like, but the underlying demand is real, and it's there, and I think that that is not how bubbles get started. Bubbles get started when there's a frenzy to buy, and it's not real demand.
And they're selling $800,000 homes in Southern California to migrant strawberry pickers who've never earned $25,000 in their life.
Yeah, and my favorite one, the $800,000 home that got sold to the pressure washer in Boca who never made more than $30,000 a year.
Yeah, and never makes one payment.
Right.
But who got stuck with it? The lender? Oh, no, not the lender, because the lenders initiated them, then sold them all to you and me and everybody
right.
listening. You know, Fannie and Freddie were never, ever intended to be backed by the taxpayers of the country. But you knew and I knew and everybody knew when push came to shove, that's exactly what was going to happen. And it didn't take Congress 2 minutes into the crash in 07, 08 to immediately have the taxpayers back up all of that stuff that they so stupidly put into place. But I digress.
Well, there was a bit of good news this week, too. Good news for Jacksonville, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think you might have seen this. Uh-huh. Dun & Bradstreet is moving their headquarters to Jacksonville, bringing 500 jobs with it. And those jobs pay an average salary of $77,000 apiece.
Yep.
So now, that's a huge win for...
Well, it's a great big white-collar business, too.
Yes.
So it's going to be good for everybody, and the housing market will definitely be paying attention.
Oh, no doubt about it. There's a lot of neighborhoods I can think of that are going to really benefit from this change.
Absolutely. I don't know where they're going. I think they're still looking for property, aren't they? They've announced a location,
well,
but not a building.
They are somehow related to Black Knight. Yeah,
they might be right down in the river.
Yeah, and they're building, or not Black Knight. One of the companies is building a new building down there. I wouldn't be surprised if they were right in that Riverside downtown area.
Okay,
but I don't know anything. So
beautiful area. I just wouldn't want the commute.
Nor would I, but yeah. not my problem.
Depending on where are they now? In New Jersey, I think that company's headquartered, right?
I'm looking at the article here.
Yeah,
that
it could
sounds
be,
right.
Yeah, it could be that commuting from anywhere down to there in the morning would be a relief for those people.
So. And not having to deal with snow. And
yeah, well, then there's that. Yeah. So congratulations, Jacksonville, on that. And guess who has the number one selling football jersey in the country right now?
I saw that.
Which we were speculating.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, he may not even make it to the roster.
No. You know, we've been garnering a lot of attention around the country and around the world lately. This little old River City, so congrats to everybody.
Not all of it positive, but the only bad press is no press.
That's exactly right. Mae West at her finest. All right. Anything else you want to move on to in the market before we change horses, so to speak?
There's a few other things, but take it away.
No, I'm ready to wait till after. Right. We've only got about a minute and a half left.
Okay. So there actually was some other good news about Jacksonville. A report came out this week that Jacksonville offers some of the highest wages for blue-collar workers in the state, which I was surprised by.
I am too.
We historically, I don't believe that has been the case here. We've always have a very low cost of living, but also low wages compared to cities like Tampa, Orlando, and South Florida. So I was very pleased to see that as a power plant operator, distributor, and a dispatcher, you can earn about $78,790 in Jacksonville.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Locomotive engineers, almost $62,000. Elevator installers, $90,000.
Wow.
Some pretty good wages, pretty good jobs on here.
I started coming here in 1978, and it was immediately a problem that this area had.
Definitely. When I was looking for work out of college, it was a real problem. I couldn't come back here. I couldn't find a job that paid enough to incentivize me to come back here.
No, and I think the attention has been to all the right areas. We're a far bigger technology hub than most people realize now. And it has been getting better, and we can see that with the people who come into our office. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Biden is playing down a rift among Democrats when it comes to support for the state of Israel, despite media reports indicating that the progressive wing of the Democrat Party is very anti-Israel in its current conflict with the Hamas terrorist group. President Biden says that there will not be peace in the Middle East until Israel's neighbors acknowledge its right to exist, something he says that he and the Democrat Party, by and large, do, in fact, support. Republicans are not impressed with the White House counteroffer on infrastructure spending. The president has come down from his request for $2.25 trillion for infrastructure projects to $1.75. Republicans say it is still loaded with way too much spending, not even related to traditional infrastructure projects. International oil prices on the rise on Friday, up $1.87 a barrel on the NYMEX to close out at $63.81 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Fishing in Florida attracts millions of visitors to our state, supports more than 100,000 jobs, and contributes to $35 billion in our state's water-based economy each year. The future of Florida's fishing industry depends on a healthy Everglades. Protect our fishing. Restore America's Everglades. Learn more at evergladesfoundation.org.
Hi, my name is Grant. For the past 17 years, I've been hooked on drugs, off and on, and in and out of rehabs. I had everything I could ever need, my wife, children, family, a home, and I was still unhappy and lost. I was finally forced to make a decision, and I chose City Rescue Mission. Since coming to CRM and participating in the Life Builders Addiction Recovery Program, I have been able to focus on myself and build my relationship with God. My counselors motivate me and encourage me and have shown me how everything can be given over to God. I no longer feel the anxiety and stress that consume my life thanks to City Rescue Mission and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I'm Paul Stassi, Executive Director for City Rescue Mission. The story you just heard is just one example of the many lives that have been transformed here at CRM. This year marks 75 years of City Rescue Mission's making a difference in our community, and we couldn't do it without you. Visit us at crmjax.org to learn more or to make a donation to help provide hope, healing, and change for those in need.
This year marks the 64th anniversary of Boger Shoes on Park Street here in Jacksonville. In order for a family business to celebrate 64 years, they must be doing something right. And that something is good old-fashioned customer service. For 64 years, Boger Shoes has provided orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. During the month of May, Boger's is featuring the Birkenstock Arizona in Stone. Also, if you mention you heard this radio ad, you'll get 20% off your entire purchase. Exclude sale shoes, baby shoes, and clearance shoes. Other restrictions do apply. Whether diabetic, retail, and comfort, custom OTC orthotics, or baby and kid shoes, stop by the store at 1014 Park Street. Online at BogerShoes.com. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Lots of sunshine today and a high of 83. Tonight, some scattered clouds dropping to the mid-60s. Sunny again on Sunday, a bit warmer, though, at 87. And clear Sunday night, low 65. Monday, bright sunshine near 93. Tuesday and on through the week, sunny days and 94. Clear at night, close to 70.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as we mentioned, our internet feed has been restored, so that's good. And because of that, someone has asked that I repeat the trivia question, which I was going to do anyway, but make sure of it this way. Using the standard definition of a bear market, which means a decline of 20% following a new high, we have had one bear market in the last 4 years in the S&P 500. And how many have we had in Bitcoin, which is, shall we say, a bit more volatile than...
A bit.
Yeah. So how many? And we know that we've had more than one, but there's no upper limit on it yet. So if anybody wants to bracket it, feel free. Meanwhile, we have a caller on the line. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Adam and Steve. Good to hear your voice on the radio and the internet, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good working. To be seen, as they say.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, there you go. So I just wanted to let you know that the building that's going up in Riverside is part of Fidelity.
That's right.
And it's the fifth is I guess that's the name of that division of Fidelity National. Okay. So it's a 12-story building, and they're just now getting ready to top it off. Probably within the next 3 to 4 weeks, they'll be having a top off party. The windows are going in, and it's a nice little project downtown. It's gonna be a good looking building.
Do you know if they plan to occupy the whole thing right away?
I've heard different things. At one point, I heard they were only going to occupy part of it, but who knows?
Yeah.
You know, that could change.
I have a neighbor who works in that.
I understand, just as a kind of a interesting side note, that there's actually more square footage for parking than there is building.
Oh, that's weird.
It's a good thing, though.
So, yeah. So getting to the lumber part of this, it did pull back a little bit. The cash price did pull back a little bit on Friday, but the shortage is not due to a lack of trees. Although we've had fires and floods and beetles and things like that, really the bottleneck is because the mills don't have enough labor and truckers to move the product, and the stump fees have only really gone up maybe 12% due to demand, but the real price increase has gone into the milling operations, where the prices have gone up by almost 395%. So there's not a lot of millers out there that are milling the product, so they are basically in the catbird seat, and they're not planning on adding additional machinery or square footage because, you know, they're sitting pretty well at the moment, and they're, you know, so long as there's this demand for housing, and that doesn't seem like it's going to stop or slow down anytime in the future, they're going to just maintain their position and try to collect, kind of like what the OPEC does with their oil when they right. when they have the chance to curb the manufacturing and production of oil. They can, you know, increase prices. So is the these manufacturers. So I thought you'd like that little tidbit. I'm going to take a quick guess at that Bitcoin question. I'm going to say there were four bear markets,
and I'm going to say that that's not just a little low.
Okay.
How about that? I tried to give a hint without being too obvious. Yeah.
That just goes to show you how closely I follow Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, you and me, I had to read this one. I never would have thought about it.
Sounds like you're a lot better versed on lumber than Bitcoin.
No kidding.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm switching. I'm suggesting people sell Bitcoin and buy lumber.
Yeah, I'm more torn. Like, maybe I'd short it if I knew how. I just don't think it can maintain this.
No, I don't. I think that the high prices won't be sustained. I think they're wise to not add capacity, though,
because yeah, me too.
inevitably the capacity will go back down to a normal, or the demand will go back down to a normal level.
You'd be sitting there with unused overhead.
And right.
They could ramp up production a little bit now if the government would stop overpaying people to stay home.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend lately.
Yeah. So I agree. Don't add overhead.
I read one article where this gentleman who owns a mill hired five people on Friday, and only one of them showed up on Monday.
Well, he's 20% better off than some of the stories I've
heard.
Yeah,
it's amazing
it's
out there.
It's sad out there.
All right, gentlemen.
Appreciate the call,
Keep
Greg.
Up the good work.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm going to save you all some time. So I'm sure you get these nice color flyers all the time like I do. You know, the dinner at the fabulous restaurant, and they're going to teach you all kinds of things when you know darn well they're selling something, and almost always it's the same something. But here's what you're going to learn. I thought I'd just do a quick run through them and tell you. Different tools you have available to your investment portfolio. Oh, would that be stocks and bonds and ETFs and mutual funds? Oh, and annuities. Yeah, because we don't talk that much about them. How you may avoid losing up to 70% or more of your IRA to taxes. Learn how you can disinherit the IRS. Fully funded life insurance policies and deferred annuities.
I'd also like to see who's paying 70% in taxes.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't heard of that one either. But in order to do that, you have to take your qualified money, meaning your tax-deferred money, out, pay taxes immediately on it, and then put it somewhere else. So you've just decreased your money pool by whatever percent your marginal tax rate is, which can cause other problems, one of which I'm going to hit in the next segment of the show. How you can legally eliminate taking required minimum distributions at age 72. Well, depending on when you were born, A would be live that long. And the other way would be switch it into a Roth IRA or an annuity that don't have RMDs. And again, that's taking all that tax
money. Or just pull it out and pay taxes now.
Exactly. All of it involves current taxation, and it has a big impact on how much you have left. Strategies on how to align your investments to meet your income needs. Oh, that would be you could annuitize a bunch of money or set up a portfolio that based on total income, like interest and dividends and capital gains and all that. Oh, and that, in other words, what we do every day of our lives. Yeah, we do that. Whether the COVID-19 response brings higher inflation or higher taxes. I'll give you the answer to that right now. Yes. What you must do now if your goal is to save tens or hundreds of thousands in lifetime income tax, cash in your deferred account, put it in a deferred annuity. You see where all of this is going? How to keep some of your money safely out of harm's way without settling for low interest rates. Would that be a fully funded life insurance contract? I have some statistics on that, too. Fully funded life insurance contracts in the last 10 years have been outperformed by the NASDAQ by 138%, and that's the contracts that actually stayed solvent. These things are dangerous, folks. Anybody talks to you about life insurance, you please run fast. If you want to buy life insurance, you buy the simplest product out there, which is just a basic term policy. You buy it for the length that you're going to need to cover your own financial needs and that of your family. You stop paying for it when you no longer need it. And meanwhile, you take all that extra money you save by not paying huge amounts into this life insurance product, and you put that in your retirement accounts or your brokerage accounts and invest it intelligently with people who do what we do. And you just let it mushroom over the years, and things are fine. You do not need to threaten your own future by giving a huge part of your money to Uncle Sam today. That's a codicil that we put on our investment techniques. So I've said this for decades on the radio. It's that everybody tells you how high interest or tax rates are going to be when you retire, except me. Because over those years, no one put out a proposal which would involve higher marginal tax rates until this administration. And guess who is fighting back on this administration? Now, if you say Mitch McConnell, you're partly right. And if you say the Republicans in the House, you're partly right. But they're not the important ones. The important people pushing back on the tax increases now are called elected Democrats from swing districts. I love it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939. For your free CD, call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And trivia question is still out there. How many bear markets have we seen in Bitcoin in a meager 4 years? And we know it's higher than the number four. All right. So you want to be a millionaire. You live in the right country.
You do. Mm-hmm. Actually, if you want to be a billionaire, you live in the right country.
Because that's true. Although China's creating them faster than we are right now.
That is true. But we still have a good share of them. And
they've got four times the population at least.
And the one I'm going to talk about today is a billionaire. And he was born in, I may not say this correctly, Kyiv, Ukraine, in 1976.
I've always been taught Kyiv, but whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was it, but I just wasn't sure. It's spelled differently. Yeah. In 1976, where he lived with his parents until age 16, when he and his mother moved to Mountain View, California, to escape an anti-Semitic environment. His dad planned on joining them, but he never made it out of Ukraine, and he died in 1997. He later lost his mother in 2000 to cancer, so not a great start. Upon moving to California, a social support program helped his family get a small apartment. His mother worked as a babysitter, and he worked at a grocery store to make ends meet. By age 18, the young man had become interested in programming, and he moved to the right place, and he enrolled at San Jose State University while also getting a job at Ernst & Young. It was his less legitimate interests that really kickstarted his career, though. In 1996, he joined a group of hackers that included the founders of Napster, the illegal music file sharing service that changed everything about the music industry and inspired this young man. In 1997, despite never graduating from San Jose State, he was hired as an infrastructure engineer by Yahoo. He and his close friend Brian Acton quit Yahoo in 2007 to travel for a year. Upon returning, they both applied to work at Facebook, and they were rejected. Living off his savings from his Yahoo job, he purchased his first iPhone in 2009 and realized that the new App Store represented a huge opportunity. Through his network of Russian-born coders, he put together a plan for WhatsApp, which was incorporated in 2009 without the code even being written. It got off to a slow start, with just a network of Russian coders using the app, and after a few months, he almost folded the company and applied for a job. It was his friend Brian Acton that again talked him out of it. A few months later, Apple invented the push notification, and WhatsApp became the earliest form of instant messaging. This was the first time that people could send a message instantaneously across the world for free. There were other programs that let you do this, but not using your own phone number. When WhatsApp 2.0 was released with a messaging feature, his user base jumped to 250,000. Acton officially joined the startup in late 2009 and secured 250,000 of outside funding for the company. They secured a small space in the Evernote building and started building for other platforms outside of Apple. By 2010, the revenue was $5,000 per month, and they frequently switched the price of the app from free to $1 when they needed to slow user growth. They were growing so fast they would charge a dollar just to slow it down, and they were also growing so fast that they started having to turn away venture capitalists. And eventually, one of the Sequoia partners, Jim Goetz, finally convinced them to take $8 million in 2011. 2 years later, WhatsApp had 200 million active users and a staff of 50. They decided to raise more money at a valuation of $1.5 billion. It was about this time when, of all people, Facebook took notice. And in 2016, Facebook formally announced they were buying WhatsApp for $19 billion. In 2018, he stepped down from Facebook, and it may have had something to do with his pro-Trump posts. He was quoted as saying, "As somebody who grew up in the Soviet Union, Donald Trump couldn't be more right about the failures of socialism." As a Russian Jewish immigrant born into poverty who lost both parents at an early age, the cards were definitely stacked against Jan Koum from an early age. Despite that, he turned a passion for coding into a multi-billion dollar company and cashed out to the company that had turned him down for a job just years earlier. His net worth of almost $10 billion would say that getting denied by Facebook may have been the best thing that ever happened to him.
Huh.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Do you know who I am talking about if I told you that way long time ago there was a baby born to a couple of grad students at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and they didn't have the wherewithal to keep him, and they put him up for adoption, and a couple in California raised him?
I don't know who that is.
Steve Jobs.
I didn't know that.
I would hate to be known as the guy who gave up a baby that became Steve Jobs. Although, man, what a claim to fame.
Although if you want what's best for your kid, you would have to say that they did the right thing.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But, man, that'd be a tough one to live with. All right. Roth conversions and contributions and all that stuff versus income. I mentioned that you can get into some trouble when you listen to these people that say you got to get your money out of your 401ks and traditional IRAs. They all have the same thing in mind. They want your business, of course, and that's no problem. We're all salesmen at one time or another. But they will lead you to believe that if you pay the marginal tax rate now, that it can only reap dividends over the time by they lead you to believe it's that 70% number or something like that that you're going to lose it when you take something out of a taxable account. Well, those things are not exactly true. But we had a real-life incident the other day. It didn't happen exactly like that, but it wound up like that. So we had a couple who They both work and they both contribute to IRAs routinely, one a Roth and one a regular. We like that because when you get to retirement age, it's very nice to have a control of sorts over where your income comes from so you can kind of manage your own taxes. Well, they inherited something or other property, and they decided they were going to sell it last year and made a very, very substantial capital gain. And that was all well and good, you know. Ain't that America? Until it came time to do taxes. And all of a sudden, this capital gain threw them over the Roth contribution limit. So they called with their tax preparer and said, we got a problem. What can you do? And we said, well, it's not a problem. You made illegal contributions to your Roth, not knowing. We got to take it out of there immediately and put it back into a different environment. It can be a taxable IRA. You can just put it in your checking account. It doesn't really matter. You just got to get it out of there. That's the law. Penalty for that is 6% a year, and you have to take out your contributions and your growth on it. So we got looking at it, and this is when you might really seriously want to have a good financial planner. We realized that the Roth contribution every month for years has been $150. Well, the Roth limit is $6,000. So basically what happened was they had an $1,800 contribution that should have been taken out and reclassified. Except, thinking about it, the year before that, they'd also put in $1,800. Well, they could have put in up to $6,000. So we said, well, you can contribute to last year's up to April 15th. So there's four payments that we just reclassify as being last year's contribution. And then we remembered that last year was that weird year where April 15th was meaningless because they moved it to July 15th. So we took three more and pushed them back to the year before. So we took seven contributions and kept them as Roth IRA contributions, whereby only four then were, or only five were left to go into either a checking account or a traditional IRA. Well, they couldn't contribute to the traditional IRA on a deductible basis, so then we opened up a traditional but non-deductible IRA for the other ones. That preserves the tax status going forward. Now, that's not a whole big load of money for somebody, but I classify it as a win. You kept all the money in the non-taxable growth accounts. You didn't have to pay any penalties, and like that. Now, I don't know how many people, including your tax preparers, would have come up with that. You might be surprised to hear me say that I'm a big fan of tax preparers, a huge fan. But I find that they are not really on top of the retirement game like we are. We deal with it all the time. We don't have to worry about all the stuff that they worry about all the time. But we do get really, really intensely concentrated in the retirement programs. So it's just something else when you think about it. Real life situations that would lead directly to our office they're unpredictably huge in volume and nature both. So, you know, it's pretty easy to find us. You've got about 20 seconds if you want to.
Actually, we need to tell them how many
15.
Fair markets.
Yep, 15. Yeah.
But yeah, that's
website is the best way to find us.
Yeah, VanWeFinancial.com. We just redid it. Come check it out.
Yeah, it's really pretty too. I think you'll enjoy it. We've gotten a lot of compliments on websites forever, but this one's really sharp. See you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the VanWeFinancial Hour.